Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 10 is where we will gather our lesson from this morning. Just wait there and we will. I want to talk about this morning, if you need a title, Ministry is a Selfless Act. Ministry is a Selfless Act. The prophet Isaiah, considered to be one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. We know that there are minor and there are major prophets in the Old Testament. And simply being that what makes one minor and what makes one major is simply the length of the text and the content of the text, which allows it to be considered to be major or minor. Means that God unveiled more to certain prophets than he did to other prophets. Not that he had favoritism of those particular prophets. For whatever reason, God chose to give more information to certain prophets than he did other. And so that's how they are determined to be major and minor prophets. Isaiah being one of the major prophets, his message was one of salvation. And throughout the Old Testament, we can read in the minor and the major prophets, their messages are always messages of warning and condemnation. Every time you read one of the minor or major prophets, there's always a warning to Israel, a warning to God's people, a condemnation to Israel, a condemnation to God's people for things that they have engaged in or things that they have walked themselves away from. And in the book of Isaiah, it is no different. Although Isaiah's message is one of salvation, Isaiah still gives a stern warning about condemnation and warning to Israel about some things that is about to take place. Well, this is during a chaotic time. The kingdom is in two places. The northern kingdom is in captivity during this time, and Judah is dealing with idolatry and evil wickedness during this time, and the Assyrian kingdom is dominating both of the kingdoms. The northern kingdom is affected by the Assyrian kingdom, and Judah is affected by the Syrian kingdom. And in the midst of this, the Babylonians, they are gaining grounds. They are growing in strength. They are growing in power, and they're growing in numbers. And Israel is in the midst of this war-torn, chaotic situation, not only dealing with being in captivity, not only dealing with the idolatry and wickedness that was transpired during this time, they were also faced with the Babylonians who were going to rule Assyrian at some point. And Israel was trying to figure out what was their lot in the midst of this chaotic time. How would they still be able to sustain the promises that God had given them? How would they be able to maintain who they were during this time? And so Israel, they were challenged. They were faced with a difficult time. They were worried about idolatry, which was running rapid through the land. And they were trying to figure out, how can we maintain our theocracy, which simply means ruled by a higher being or ruled by God. How would they still maintain who they were? And God expected them, even during all this chaos, to sustain themselves and maintain who they were. And Israel was challenged with this. But I want to show us from the text that God does not and will not accept anything from any of us just because we give it to him. And I'm going to show us in the text that God has some expectation for us. And when it comes to ministry, ministry is designed to be a selfless act. It has nothing to do with selfishness. And in this text, we're going to find and we're going to see what Israel was challenged with. And Isaiah, this prophet, had to bring a message of a warning to Israel, because right now, God had got to the point that he was not recognizing their voice. He was not recognizing their plea. He was not recognizing their prayers, all because they had done things in a selfless way, and we were trying to bring them back to where God wanted them to be. Y'all all right? All right. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. And I'm going to show us from the text what was a problem. Israel, they had begun to exploit what was a practice or a spiritual practice, which was fasting. They were required to fast in order to cleanse them, in order to bring them closer back to God. But what happened, Israel, in this text, and we will see that what they did, instead of fasting, they took this fasting and they exploited what should have been a spiritual ritual that would have cleansed them and would have brought them closer to God. They exploited it for their own selfish reason. And God sends his messenger to them, and he warns them that this is not what I require. And he's going to show them in the text that God is fed up with what they were doing. He's going to show them that they were just checking off each box. They were just saying they were doing the rituals that was necessary for fasting. See, nothing was wrong with fasting. Fasting was something that God required of them and expected of them. But what they had begun to do was exploit it for their own personal growth, and they left God out of the mix. And the Bible says that God sent his messenger to warn them in this thing. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23, and we'll get back to Isaiah chapter 58, but I want to show us real quickly, if our readers, Leviticus 23, verse 27 through 32, fasting was something that God expected of them, and what should have been a spiritual cleansing to reconcile them to God, which would have given them the necessary tools in order to make their relationship better with God. They end up taking it and exploiting it for themselves, and God was not pleased. So in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 27 through 32, what does the Bible say? The Lord spoke to Moses saying what?
The 7th is the Day of Atonement. Uh-huh. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord.
Keep reading.
You shall not do any work on this same day, for this is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. As for any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no work at all. It is to be perpetual statute.
Listen. In the Old Testament, when they fast, this day that was designed. And so Moses comes and he gives them the decree from God. And he says that, listen, the day that you set aside, these are the things that are required to happen. And it is necessary. It is a purification stage. It allows you to cleanse out whatever wickedness or whatever issues was going on in you that would allow you to reconcile yourself back to me. And so this was an expected thing that they were required to do. And so it was not like God didn't expect this. But what happened was during this time in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 through 10, after the fast and according to the law, they would question God. And so what was happening is that the children of Israel, they were saying, well, God, we fasted. We did everything that you required us to do. We covered ourselves in ashes. We put sackcloth on. We bowed our heads now, and we're crying out to you, and you're not responding to us. How dare you not recognize our prayer? How dare you not hear our request? What's wrong, God? We're doing what you're asking us to do. And so Isaiah gets there in chapter 58, and he says, well, here's the message from the God. Since you're asking God why God is not responding to you, I'm going to tell you what the Lord said. And he tells Isaiah, when you get there, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there in a calm and in a nice way. I don't want you to go there trying to whisper. I want you to go there, and I want you to sound off like a trumpet. I want you to shout so that everybody can hear you. I want you to go there and I want you to stand and say it loud and say it firm. Since they want to ask me why I have not been responding to them, this is the reason. So in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 10, let's go there and I'm going to read and I'm going to show you what the text said, because this was an issue. And verse number 1, he says, cry aloud, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They asked of me righteous judgment. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you not take no knowledge of it? They was questioning God. They were saying, God, we were fasting. We did what was right. It's kind of like us saying, Lord, we come to worship service. We sing, we pray, we study, we repent, we do all these things. We commune, we give. It was a checklist. And God was saying, you got your checklist down, but there are some things in your checklist that you're missing. Well, what was it? It was their soul. It was their inner being. It was that they did not change their mindset. Let me help us see this in a more practical way that'll help us out. God said that Isaiah, he gets here. And there are three things that Isaiah wants to deal with. First, he want to talk about, he want to call out their fakeness. That's point number one. Point number two, he wants to let them, he want to lay it out, and he want to let them know what God is not pleased with. And point number three, ministry is about others and it is not about you. Point one, he says, cry out to them their fakeness. He says, I want you to confront them. He said, they're just coming to worship and they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're singing, they're praying, they're teaching, they're fellowship, but something is not right with them. Well, what was it, Isaiah, when they were fasting and what they should have been asking God to help them with? If they had a confrontation with somebody, they would fast and they would say, Lord, when I go and debate Sister McGillicuddy, I want to win in my debate. Lord, if I get into a confrontation with Brother Bill, then I need to be the one who will win the fight. Y'all missing this. They were saying they knew that fasting was what God required of them, and whatever they asked when they fast, God was supposed to do what? Give it to them. And so what they did, they exploited what should have been a spiritual cleansing that would have reconciled them to God for their own selfish use. Y'all missing it now. What they should have done was fast and allow their fasting not only to reconcile them to God, but allow God to use them to do some good things. They were exploiting those people who worked for them after they fast. When they fast, they would say something like, well, on Tuesday, I got a big match going on, God, and I'm going to have an argument. When I get there, I want to win. And they was crying out to God, saying, God, what I asked you for, Tuesday showed up, and I didn't win. What's the matter? God was saying, fasting is not designed that way. We're not understanding, preacher. We come to this worship service. We say, God, I give, I sing, I commune, I do all these things. Why ain't got the job I've been asking for? I sing, I give, I pray. I ain't got the house that I've been asking about. Look, hold on now. I fast specifically because I wanted something personal for myself. See, ministry has never been designed to be a selfish thing. It has always been designed to be selfless.
And in this text, before we get finished, I'm going to show you that God's design was never for them just to benefit themselves. It was for them to benefit other individuals. And that's what God calls us to do. And if we want to receive the blessing the way that God will give us, you and I have to recognize our coming to worship, our participation has never been just about us. It is about benefiting those who don't have, so that we can teach those and draw those who do not know God to God. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 and 2. Y'all, just two more points and the lesson will be yours. In verse 1 and 2, what does the Bible say again?
Cry loudly. Hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God.
Drop down in verse 3 and 4. Read.
Why have we fasted and you do not see?
Listen. They're challenging God. They're asking him, we fast and what?
And you do not see.
Why
have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high.
Listen. This is what the challenge was. Their fasting was not simply to be seen or to just be acknowledged that they did it. They was doing it just to check the box to say, I did it. If you and our hearts don't change, it's one thing to sing songs the way we sing them. It's one thing to get up here. We love our praise team. We're excited when they're singing. It's one thing for us to get in here and shout and sing and faint and cry and do all the things that we do behind hearing these gentlemen sing, and we feel all excited. But if you leave out of here the same one person you were when you got in here and you are not cleaning up your act, then all that's in vain. It's one thing to sing and shout and pray and do all this thing, and you still a nasty person. Try to help you see this now. It's one thing to say, listen, we want to go over here and we want to minister to this community. And yeah, we bring in all this excitement. And when people meet us, they say, oh, they sound good. Oh, they look good. But have you ever met them one by one? This is what Isaiah was saying. He goes here and he said, listen, God hears you. He know you're bowing down. You're doing everything that you're required to do when it comes to fasting. But your heart has not changed. You are a selfish individual. You are asking for things to only benefit you. Amen. Then all this worship that you're doing is in vain. You're singing and shouting and praying and giving and communion, and you're doing all this and you have not changed. Let's go to Luke. I'm going to show you a few scriptures, then the lesson will be yours. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14 for me. This is what God, he says, go to him. He said, I want you to confront him. I want you to cry it out loud. And then once you do that, I want you to lay it out what God is not pleased with. Show them what God is not pleased. God is not about showmanship. He expects something from us. If you and I can come consistently and sing and pray and do all these things and our heart is not changed, then our coming is simply in vain. If you are still a nasty person, after all that you go through and all that you express and all that you hear and you're not changed, then you are not reaping the right benefits of what you're doing. You know, a lot of the time we hear people talk about fasting. People use, well, I'm a fast, and today's time I'm a fast. But a lot of us don't know what fasting is designed for. A lot of us think fasting is all about us. Fasting is a cleansing period, but not only does it give you, it allows you to clean out the different things that you're dealing with, but not only will it reconcile you to God, but it will allow you to be the child of God that you need to be, that you need to be. And that's where a lot of us are missing the point, that if we're coming to worship and we're studying and we're doing all these things, at some point something needs to take hold to you, which causes you to become a different type of individual. And that's how ministry becomes effective. Because now I know that ministry has nothing to do with me. It's all about serving other individuals. I feel hurt. I don't want y'all getting mad. I understand. We was talking about this when we have a lot of educators that go to church here. But a lot of them, when they come here, they don't want to teach in the Sunday school. Wow. I teach all the day. I teach every day. That's all you hear. I teach many. Y'all don't want to get back in the classroom. But you ain't quit the job that you go to. Let me help you see this. How is it that God can bless you with a means to make a living and you refuse to give it back to God? It happens. It happens. You don't have to get upset. Same thing happens with anyone who has any ability to do anything to it. You know what? It's one thing. I applaud Brown, and I'm not calling him because he's made him cool. I'm just telling you. I applaud him and his wife because we challenged them. And they understood what the challenge was. How can they be in education the way that they are and not want to give back? Amen. You can't complain about the education department at Mountain View and you're not doing anything to help the education department at Mountain View. Amen. I'm talking to us because we are members of this country and we're supposed to transition over to this new place. Yes. So when I see people who are not in education volunteer and jump up and do things. We say, oh, well, good job. But then those of you who are in that area, why to complain? Things are not going the way it's supposed to, but you don't do anything to what? Oh, Lord. It's like people who know how to cook and get mad at somebody who don't. There's a meal need to be prepared and you don't want to fix it. And the person getting there who can't cook and you said, man, this is bitter, nasty, no taste, too much salt, not enough salt. Oh, Lord. I ain't talking about nobody I know. I'm just saying. All right. So let's go to Luke. I'm going to show you something. And then the text is going to be out. This is a simple lesson because Isaiah, he really was that God was fed up with them. But he wanted to show them. They was crying out. They cried out. He came back. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you why I haven't been responding to you. And then Isaiah, he lays it out in verse 3 and 4. He lays out why God is doing what he's doing, why God hasn't responded to them. He says, stay in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 3 and 4, then Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14, because God is not about showmanship. Fasting and what you was doing has never been about showmanship. Worship has never been about showmanship. Just because you can shout loud, sing loud, pray loud, it's never been about what you can do. Some of the people who do the most are some of the quietest people in the Lord's church. Some of the people who do the most are some of the people who can't sing about nothing. Have you ever sat next to somebody who can't hit a note? And when you try to hit one, Lord have mercy, they make your note go somewhere else. Sit next to Brother Kruther. You understand what I'm saying? No, I'm just that's my boy. That's my friend. Yeah, James can't sing though, but he my friend. Let's go there. Read them.
And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt.
Look, listen what Luke said, Luke 18, 9 through 14, that this is what was going on. And that's why I said God is not about showmanship. It's all about your heart. Keep reading.
Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector.
Uh-huh.
The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts him will be humble, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.
All right, listen. He was beating his chest. A lot of us like to beat our chests, but none of us like to do the things that are necessary when it comes to ministry. Ministry is all about sacrifice. It is. It's sacrifice. It's hard to, you know, to give of yourself, but not to benefit yourself, but to benefit somebody else. God will, he will bless us. There are a lot of us who sacrifice a lot, and God rewards us a lot. He'll take care of us. And we cannot transition with the same mindset. It is there is something that has to happen with all this worship that we're doing, all this singing and praying and all these different things that are transpiring. Something in your heart has to begin to change you. At some point, the singing and the praying has to become a part of your life, your daily walk with God. Amen. It has to start flowing over. It can't be all about chest beating. A lot of us, you know what, and people say, Brother, you won't talk about teachers. You could talk with any profession that you have that can benefit God's people. For a long time, it took us a while to get to the point where we start utilizing people who were professional in accountants of this congregation to help us financially.
Amen.
And we use them. Why? That's their gift. That's their God. That's what God has given them. Why not use them?
Amen.
It's all right. Y'all looking strange. It's all right. You wouldn't ask me to go and do your garden. I guarantee you about a week is dead. Brother T, how you know? Because I tried to plant one at my house. Dug up everything. Planted it, looked good for about a week. Some strange started happening. Why don't plants not green the way I got them when I first got them? You got to go out there and water them consistently. What? Prune? I don't do all that stuff. Know what I had to do? Cut them down. They look bad. Killed all everything I planted. I don't have a green thumb, so I don't try it anymore. That's not what I do. Can't complain about something if you're not willing to step up and do it. I'm almost finished, y'all, so y'all don't like this. So let's go on. Verse 5 through 10 in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah, he begins to tell them ministry. He shouts to them. He confronts them. Then he lays it out why God is not pleased. And then he comes back and he tells them, this is what your fasting is designed to do and what ministry is all about. In Isaiah 58, verse 5 through 10.
Is it a fast like this which I choose?
Uh-huh.
A day for a man to humble himself? Is it for bounds one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday.
Listen, Isaiah, not only did God warn them and explain to them, but God also gave them the remedy to help them to understand the benefit if they do it the right way. We love
praise and worship God. But there should be something that affects us after we've praised and we've worshiped God the way that we do. There should be something that flows through this congregation members that excites them, not only about the praise and the worship of God, about being able to tell others and help others who don't know the Lord, that want to bring them to God. It's one thing. Hey, it's a wonderful thing that we're live and we're streaming, and people are excited about our worship service. They're hearing about, they love the singing that Mountain View does and the preaching and the praying. They're excited about it. But when they get here, they need to meet us as members, as individuals, and knowing that what we are doing is actually affecting us in our own personal lives. You're shouting loud and you're praying loud and you're singing loud. Now let me talk to you individually and find out, oh, you still nasty. How you there screaming and shouting and fighting and all that stuff and a nasty as you are? I come here, my hands are stretched out and I'm asking for assistance and I need help and you turning me away. I don't even know you, and you're in my community. Whole building rocking and shaking, and we trying to figure out on the outside what's going on the inside of that place. But nobody's went outside to tell us about the goodness there is. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Readers, get these last two scriptures in the lesson to be yours. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7.
Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Transformation. 1 Samuel 16 and 7. As we bring our lesson to a close, there is an expectation that everything that we do is leading us somewhere. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, what does the Bible say?
But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him.
Why?
For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Amen. See, it's never been about showmanship. A lot of us are good with showmanship. But we're talking about personal ministry. Can people recognize you not because they seen, but because they know about your goodness, that it flows out of you? This congregation, it's one thing to be known for our singing and our excitement, but there should be a flow that runs out of us, that people in the community and around this city of ours are saying, do you know about the Mountain View congregation? Why? Yeah, when I go in that area, there's so many wonderful works that they're doing over there. They're helping so many people that they're like a bright light that is sitting on the side of a city, on a hillside, and everybody can see them. Not only are they excited on Sunday morning, but any time you run to any of their members, they're excited about the work that they're doing at that congregation. Amen. That's how it should be. Where do you go and worship? I go to Mountain View. What is it? I'm going to tell you about the mountain that I'm at. What's going on there? There are good things that are happening there. That's how it should be. That's what people want to hear about. Why do I want to go there? The singing is one thing, but can you meet me at the level that I'm at? If I'm hurting and I'm going through some things, can you meet me where I need to be met at? That's what people want to know. I'm hurting. I'm dealing with some things. My marriage is rocky. Oh, there are some people who can help me through this hardship. Yeah, I know a couple who wouldn't mind talking to you. That's what people want to hear about. Should be a resourceful place. Place where people can come and they can get healing here. Amen.
And those of us who are here and who can extend that helping hand should be more than willing to do those things. I don't want to hear, yeah, they sing good. Yeah, they pray good. Yeah, they preach good. But tell me what kind of person they are. When I go to them, I talk to them about some things. I need some issues or some help about. Will they do what they need to do? Are they extending their hands to me? Are they just all about showmanship? Israel was all about showmanship during this time. And Isaiah goes to him. I see you with the ashes on your head, the sackcloth. You bow down the right way. You're doing everything you're supposed to do, but you're asking for things in vain. God said, this is the right way you're supposed to do it. That there should be a renewing of the mind. There should be something inside of us that should change. And that's why God told him in 1 Samuel, he said, you're looking at everything on the outside, but I look at a man's heart. You are fascinated with what they look like, and what they drive, and what you think they are. But let me show you somebody who will do something for you that won't ever ask anybody to pat them on their back or ask them to stand there before the crowd, but they will do it and never talk about it. That's who I want on my team. It's one thing to get all this feel good and not do anything with it is another. I'm finished. I don't want to get on my high horse. It's 11:25. Y'all still can make our hop. If you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want to extend that opportunity to you by hearing the word of God, accepting that Christ is the Savior. And then going in the water of grave of baptism, and God will add you to his family. He will give you his Holy Spirit, and it will dwell within you. It will guide you in this life. Does it mean that you're not going to be faced with issues and have concerns in this life? But God's Spirit is there for us. If you're a member of the Lord's church and you just need prayers and you need strength, you need encouragement, if you're going through some things, you know what you're going through. You know what you haven't been utilizing. You know you've made up every excuse in the book why you're not doing this, you're not doing that. A lot of us can talk about how burnout we are. It's funny, we was in the brotherly meeting and we were talking about Brother Brown made one thing. He said he worked just like the rest of us. But you know what he do? He still goes home and prepares a lesson for Sunday school. A lot of us do that. A lot of us are tired just like you. And that's what's kidding to me. Everybody like we don't work. We punch the same clock you do. And we still come and try to serve the congregation and its members and the community. And it shouldn't be a few of us that are doing this. There are too many of us here at this congregation that are not doing our part. Amen. Cannot take that mentality. It cannot continue here, and we shouldn't take it with us. At some point, you have to learn how to take the things that you're learning and put them into practice. The singing and the praying and all the things, the studying that we have. At some point, you have to learn how to grow. Everybody shouldn't be crawling around here still. It's time to make an effort to make a change. Ministry is a selfless act. And if you are hearing your subject to the invitation in a way, come now as we stand and sing the song.